4 or 5? 5.
Good evening. Welcome to part 5 of Hilchos Kosei. Believe it or not, we actually spent 2, and this will be the 3rd shiur, on cutting cakes. I mean, the first one really was titled Cutting Cakes, but it really didn't talk about cutting cakes. It was the introduction, and that was the basis for the whole story of cutting letters on cakes. If you're missing anything, don't worry, we're just starting now. Is the Rama, who says that you're allowed to open up a book even though there are words printed on the side of the pages. Right? Like over here. That's what Rama says is mutter. There were those who took issue, and therefore the halacha, if we have another sefer that's the same sefer, we should try to be machmir. There's no other sefer, the Mishnah Berurah says we could rely on the Rama, and yes, use that book, even though you're separating, breaking apart letters, and then when you close the book, you're writing the letters, that's going to be okay, Meikar Hadin. Based on that halacha, then there's another halacha where the Rama does paskin lehalacha in the Shulchan Aruch, from the Rishonim, that it is prohibited to break a cookie that has letters on it. That's actually a seif in the Shulchan Aruch. Not the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama on the Shulchan Aruch. So we call that being in the Shulchan Aruch. So that's where we sort of saw last week. At the very end of last week, we pointed out that that whole Rama was itself subject to question. So again, I have a cookie with letters on it, like Mazel Tov so-and-so, and says their name on the cookie, breaking it apart. Is that okay? The Rama says it's not okay. Says the Dagul Meravava, you know why that was not okay? Because this is what we finished with last week, because that was talking about a certain minhag, an upsharon minhag or something like that, when they took a little kid to cheder for the first time back in the, 1100s or something, they would have the kid eat off the letters. What was the point of that? Not because he wanted to eat the cake, but because if you eat the aleph, you eat the beis, you'll become a talmid chacham, something like that. That's the suggestion of the Aruch HaShulchan, and therefore there is a definitive goal in erasing the letter. It's not just, I was eating a cookie, and it happened to be letters that got consumed, or bitten, or broken. No, there was a specific, deliberate erasure, mechika, of those letters on the cookie, and that's why, that's the source that suggests Aruch HaShulchan, of why the Rama said it would be asr, but when we just eat a cookie, it happens to say Mazel Tov so-and-so, or it happens to say, it's a girl, or it's a boy on it, that the Aruch HaShulchan says, even though Ma wouldn't be mach. So what we really have is the Rama who seems to say it's asr to break the cookies, and this Aruch HaShulchan who says maybe we shouldn't pass them like the Rama, others who say maybe we don't have to be some machmir, but ultimately, we do try to follow this Rama and be machmir, not to cut cakes or cookies that have lettering. We don't break the lettering. Now, I want to share with you a bit of thinking for 30 seconds, just to appreciate what goes into, analyzing halachic shayla. When we talk about, this whole series is on Kosev, and we know that Kosev is the stepbrother or stepsister of Mochik. Whenever there is Mochik, whenever something's asr to erase, it's also asr to write that. Whenever something's asr to write, it's asr to erase that. Same thing. The parameters are identical. Let's look at the details of erasing the letters by breaking up a cookie that says Mazel Tov, it's a boy. First of all, are these letters in the icing permanent? What do you say? I see a lot of shaking hands. Let's assume you're right, they're not permanent. So it's not going to be d'oraisa. Because we know that the only time you're chayav for writing is if you write something that's permanent. That's why if you write with ketchup, you write with your finger in the frosting, on the car windows in the winter, that's only asa d'rabbanan. It's not asa d'oraisa because it's not permanent. So therefore, erasing something that's not permanent is also only going to be d'rabbanan. That's one point. The next point. When is it, and we made this point earlier, where in the Mishkan did they have to do erasure? Where was Mochik in the Mishkan?
To then write it again.
To then, when they made a mistake in writing the numbers to mark the boards of the Mishkan, they had to erase one number so they could go ahead and write the right number. So in other words, it's only Mochik is only Asa D'oraisa if it's al menas lichtov, so that you could subsequently, yes, write something that you do want. When you break a cookie, and thereby the letters, the boy, the O gets broken in half, and the word boy gets broken in two, is there any intent to, you're erasing it, you're getting rid of this O or this word, almanas lichtov, so you could afterwards have the word boy there? Or mazatav so-and-so? No. So therefore, it's another reason why Shalom Bidrabah. Third point, when you break a cookie, why do you break a cookie? Probably because you want half a cookie. What automatically ended up happening, you know, sort of by the way, a word got erased. What do we call that in halacha? What? Close. The first half of that sentence. A psikresha. Psikresha means I did A and the light happened to go on. It wasn't my intention. My intention was to do A, B, memela happened. Automatically happened. De facto happened. I wanted to break the cookie in half because I don't want so many calories. De facto, a letter or a word got erased. So says the Chazon Ish, what do you have here? You have a double derabanan with a psik resha. So maybe there's room, perhaps, suggests the Chazon Ish, based on the logic that I just told you, that whenever you're breaking a cookie, you're doing something that's, A, the lettering is not permanent. B, it's not erasing for the purpose of rewriting later. And C, you're not intending to erase. You're intending to break a cookie in half to only get 50 calories, not 100 calories. So it's a psik resha. It's just an automatic thing, but you're not intending to do that. And therefore, perhaps perhaps one could argue to be mekel, and therefore not aser, writing, not aser breaking the cookie. However, the Chazon Ish says something interesting. Remember I asked you 3 minutes ago, is a cookie permanent? And all of you shook your heads, no, cookie writing is not permanent. The Chazon Ish says, why not? You could have those cookies, I don't remember who was telling me, but Chantilly's. They said there's enough preservatives in Chantilly's to like last for like numerous nuclear wars. So, lav davka Chantilly's per se, but if you have a cookie with icing, I'm not going to say that it's going to taste fresh next week, but that icing, which says the word boy, or it says mazel tov, whatever it's going to say, that icing, of course, if you eat it, it's not going to be there for too much longer, but anything that you destroy is not going to be there. Maybe he suggests the Chazon Ish it is a permanent kind of writing, because it's there until it gets destroyed. If the, you know, there would be a certain kind of icing that would sort of dissolve in the heat, you're right. That would be, you could erase that on Shabbos, let's say. Maybe it would even be motzei l'chatchila. But if you have regular, you know, sort of the icing that they use for stenciling letters onto cookies, those cookies will stay with that shape and that letter form for weeks and weeks. And therefore the Chazon Ish says, maybe cookies should not be considered transient and quickly, that maybe they are considered a miskayim. So in the end, the Chazon Ish is machmir, like the Ramah. So what we just did is we set up that we do have a problem here. There is a problem, the way we paskin, to cut a cake, to cut cookies and break away the letters. The duration of the shiur will be figuring out, I counted 6 different solutions among the poskim, how we could engineer cutting a cake and eating it too. Yeah, Elisa.
How do you demonstrate breaking it in half? Is there a difference if a cookie you bite into it?
Yes, that's going to be one of the things we'll talk about. Yes.
And maybe you address this in one of the other shares. What about, like, why is it different from chila, something that applies to this before?
That's going to be something we'll talk about in a moment. You're making a good point. You're saying that perhaps since the intent is to write the icing on the cake until the kiddush, right? You make the cookies on Thursday afternoon, and you intend them to be eaten Shabbos morning at the kiddush. You intended for them to be for 2 days. So you're saying that by definition should be non-permanent. Can I ask you a question? Let's say I take a pencil and I write a Megillah, or anything else, my name, 2 letters, MC. And then, with the intention that 48 hours hence, I'm going to erase that. Would anyone say that that's not considered permanent? I don't think anybody would say that that's a temporary writing. Absolutely not. That's completely permanent writing. The proof is that you have to have a separate act to erase it. So the writing was a Purim writing. When I say Purim means as is, it will stay written. It won't just dissipate or wither away. If you write, for example, on the halacha of being permanent versus temporary is not just on with the ink. I think we mentioned in the past, it's also on the writing surface. So if, for example, you wrote on a leaf, we all know what happens to a leaf after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, they just wither away and disintegrate at some point. So there, that's not permanent. But when you have a piece of paper that's going to stay, and writing in pencil that's going to stay, and you need a separate action to actually erase it, that means it was permanent. That's why you needed a separate act to actually go erase it. So when you make a, even though your intention is that it should be eaten up at the Kiddush, first of all, not all cookies get finished at the Kiddush. But even so, I don't know if that would be enough. But that, well, you're making a good point. One, what, that could be a subject of this to dispute. You know, the Chazish was saying that's not considered temporary. Others might hold that it would be considered temporary. Okay. So let's start looking for solutions. Halacha l'maisa, you get a, your guest comes, they bring a birthday cake or some cake to your house, or there's a cookie, you want to eat it and it has lettering all over the place. So the first solution is one that we mentioned, I just want to put them all together, was, we mentioned it in the last, the beginning of the last year, maybe even 2 years ago, I think the beginning of last year, is that if a person, if a person wants to write it with their left hand, I'm sorry, wants to cut the cake with, meaning destroy the lettering with their left hand, that would be okay. What was the logic there? This is a svara of the Eli Rabba. The Eli Rabba is one of the Achronim who comment on the Shulchan Aruch. What was his rationale? Very sound rationale. He said, we know that when you write, you're only chai for writing with your right hand. If you write with your left hand, you're not chai. So we said that what's the inverse of writing? Erasing. So if erasing, meaning breaking apart the letters, is going to be just the opposite of writing, well, if writing is only chai with your right hand, so erasing should also only be with your right hand. Very solid logic. Doesn't it sound solid? Right? It's only also deraisa on Shabbos to write with your right hand. So presumably, the inverse, which is mochek, erasing, will only be with your right hand. Well, last week we raised a very simple problem. Wait a second. Why is writing with your right hand the only issa deraisa, but writing with your left hand is not also deraisa? What happens when you write with your left hand? It doesn't come out as pretty. It doesn't come out as neat. That's why writing makes sense to distinguish between your right or your left hand. But if you erase, you have a little mark on a paper, a little letter or two on a paper, and you take your pencil eraser and erase it, does it end up looking, does the erasure look different whether you erased it with your right hand or your left hand? Absolutely not. Just like we pointed out last week, if you flick on a light or off a light with your right hand or your left hand, there's no difference in the result of using your right or left hand. And therefore, left hand will not be considered a shinoi. Left hand is not going to be considered knocking it down. It's no longer deraisa. It's only drabanan because you use your left hand. No. The only time that left hand makes it different and knocks it down to be only asa drabanan is if using the left hand messes up the prettiness, the neatness, the functionality of what you created. So therefore, that was our question on the Eli Rabba. How could you say that erasing with your left hand, oh, that's going to be a solution? You're right, writing is only a problem, is only also deraisa with your right hand, but erasing shouldn't be dependent on right or left hand. Next question, next solution. And we'll get to something that somebody mentioned, but I want to build it up in a way that I think will be very obvious to us. There's a malacha called tochein. One of the 39 malachas is tochein. What does tochein mean? What? Grinding. So give me an example. How do you grind something? Give me an example of what would be a violation of tochein.
Herbs.
I put them in a mortar and a pestle. I forget which is which is the mortar and which is the pestle. The mortar is the banger. The pestle is the vessel on the bottom. And you crush the herbs and you make whatever you make, medicines and apothecaries.
Pesto.
Whatever, pesto, yeah, exactly. What else would be tochein? What else would be an issa deraisa of tochein? If you chop something into really small pieces, that would be like grinding it up. Great. Another example?
Grinding flour.
Grinding kernels of wheat to make a flour. Fine. Let's say you have, how about this? Let's say it's a muddy day and you have mud on your shoes and it dries. So while it's wet, you could scrape it off. But once it dries and you try to crumble it, oh, crumbling. Crumbling it off. Crumbling is going to be tochein. You're crumbling off the mud on your shoes. I have another example that's even more common than all three of those put together, where you take something solid and you crush it up into small pieces. Did any of you ever eat an apple on Shabbos? What about a pear? Or a peach? Or a piece of chicken or a piece of challah or any other food that you eat? What are your molars doing?
Grinding.
That's the word we use. Isn't that interesting? That's the definition of tochen. Have you ever heard a chumrah coming out of Bnei Brak or something like it's asur to chew on Shabbos?
It's asur to fast on Shabbos.
Okay, you could drink liquids, you could drink lemon, yogurt, smoothies,
chicken soup,
chopped liver. Right? So this is the point that the Taz makes. The Taz says, we know that there's no problem of chewing, even though it's tochen. Why? Because it is mishlesinger? Derech achila. Exactly. Something that you do just in the normal way of eating, that can't be considered a malacha. That's not called doing work. That's called enjoying Shabbos. That's derech achila. And therefore, that can't be a malacha. He gives another example. He says, does anyone prohibit, let's say you eat a cherry, and in your mouth, you're really from, you're a watermelon, and in your mouth you separate between the pit and the flesh of the cherry or the flesh of the watermelon. And then you spit it out because you're really from, right? Does anyone say that that should be asur because your mouth did borer? You're being as from as you can. You're not separating with your hands. You're actually separating with your mouth, which is the proper way to do it. But wait a second, your mouth is still doing borer, isn't it? The answer is, derech achila, that's not called borer. Even if you spit out the pit, which is what? So it's not fitting with the parameters of borer. It's mutter because that's just how you eat. So we see that doing malachas via eating is not called doing a malacha. And therefore, suggests the Taz, how could you tell me that it's usher to eat a cookie that says Mazel Tov on it? After all, you're erasing? I don't call that erasing Mazel Tov. I call that eating a snack or eating a cookie. And therefore, suggests the Taz, therefore, there should not be a problem at all with this whole Ramah. The Taz says, I don't agree, I don't understand why there should be any issur whatsoever in the first place to break this cookie if you're doing it with your mouth. Based on this, the Shavuot actually does pass in Halacha L'maisa that, he doesn't say it the way I said it, but he does pass in Halacha L'maisa that when a person erases the writing via their eating through the achila, then it is permitted. And what did the Ramah speak about? When did he say that you can't break the cookie in half? That's talking about with your hands. Breaking it with your hands, cracking it in half, and then eating part of it, that will be what the Ramah said is asur. But if you actually are going to take a bite out of it, and what's going to happen when you take a bite? You bite the mem, then you bite the zayin, then you bite the lamed. That's not going to be usr at all. And this is how the Mishnah Berurah does pass in Halacha L'maaseh. Now when we get into birthday cakes, it gets a little messier. Sort of like, picture, you know, the Three Stooges. I don't know if you know the Three Stooges. So like, they used to have all these custard pies, you know, slapstick humor, and you take a person, put his, you know, the guy sitting next to you, so take them and bend their head back down and down into the crust, custard cream pie. You know, the black and white movies from like the 80s. Okay, forget. That is the suggestion of the Mishnah Berurah. So therefore, first suggestion was cut with your left hand. We questioned that. The second suggestion is actually Paskin Halacha L'maisa as a leniency by the Mishnah Berurah, that if you're not cutting it, breaking it with your hands, but you're doing it with your teeth as you eat, you don't have to be concerned. Again, that's going to help us with cookies. It's not really going to help us with a cake and icing on the cake. Yeah.
What happens if you want to cut the cookie in half and you just put half it in your mouth, break it off, and then put the other half aside?
So when you broke it with your hands, that would be a problem.
No, but you put it in your mouth.
How did you break it?
You chewed. You
I think if you broke it with your mouth, that would be considered derech achila.
And then you didn't eat any of it, so you were giving it to a small child.
Oh, so you just chose to break it with your mouth instead of your hands?
Yeah.
That's not derech achila. You know, if you're doing it through, if you're doing active eating, it's active eating. If it's not active eating, you just want to break something and your teeth are stronger than your, you know, sometimes you want to break something very small. So your fingers are too fat to, like, you want to break a pill sometimes. So if you do it with your thumb and your forefingers, your fingers are too fat to get the right, and they're too soft. So if you use your teeth, you could get a more precise breakage. So I think if you're using your teeth only to be your better hands, so derech ha'achila has to be eating. If it's not eating, it's just breaking with your teeth, that's not considered achila. That's my own feeling. I don't know for sure.
Let me ask a question. I'm not sure I agree with what I'm about to ask. Can't you just say you can avoid cookies with writing?
In what sense? Meaning not make them?
Yeah. So I don't understand why we would find a loophole against it when those are foods that then maybe
you're should saying Liba Winter's new chumra is that you're not allowed to have cookies with writing at kiddushes. Okay? It's on record.
I'm not that friend, don't worry.
So that didn't make it. You're like suggesting that if it is an issue, we should not make those kind of cookies.
Meaning in other situations with grinding, let's say, with your teeth, and that's just the normal way of eating. There's nothing, you can't really avoid it. Whereas
right.
cooking with writing, you can.
I could avoid making a cookie. I mean, I could avoid putting Mazel Tov on my cookies.
Right.
But then I won't have a Mazel Tov cookie.
Right.
Your suggestion was suggested when it came to binding, writing on the binding on the edge of the pages. The poskim do say that since it's a whole machlok, because if you could open and close those pages, so you should avoid writing your name on the letters of the book. I have not seen any posek at any point in this very large discussion suggests that it's better not to write letters on cakes. And perhaps because of this, or four, we'll have four more solutions, and those might be available as well. Yeah?
Back to the left hand versus right hand. What if you're a lefty?
When we say left hand, right hand, that is whatever you are. If you're righty, then your right hand is your right hand. If you're lefty, then your left hand is your right hand.
Okay.
Good? Next discussion is actually not only applicable to cutting, a lot of these issues are not just applicable to cutting cakes and cookies, but also to ripping apart wrappers, whereby you're breaking apart letters, breaking apart words as you tear the wrapper. I remember when I used to be in the cafeteria on Shabbos, so one of the desserts that was always a popular one, especially in the warmer times, was Tofutti Cuties. And we always had an announcement made, the Mashkiach would always point out that somebody has to announce, that when you unwrap the Tofutti Cuties, if you do it carelessly, then you're going to then you're probably going to rip the word Tofutti or Cutie, and that will be a problem of Mochek, no different than perhaps even worse than breaking apart the letters on cookies or cakes, which are at least meant to eat, at least, you know, wrappers are not meant to eat, we don't eat wrappers. So the following kula is going to apply both to wrappers and to cutting cakes and cookies with words on them. Before we talk about the halachas of mochek, of erasing these letters that are on the cakes and cookies, let's learn some chumash. There's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Parashas Re'eh. It talks about destroying Avodah Zarah. Right? That's not what I was supposed to talk about tonight, but Torah is interconnected. So there it says, you have to destroy, dismantle the mizbeachs of Avodah Zarah. You have to destroy all their stones, their statues, etc. All their idols you have to uproot and destroy. You should uproot and destroy the names of Avodah Zarah. We have to destroy and uproot Avodah Zarah. The next pasuk says the following, Lo sa'asun kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. We're not allowed to do all the things in the previous pasuk. We're not allowed to destroy the Mizbeach. We're not allowed to destroy Hashem's name. What do we learn from these psukim? The Isser of? I shouldn't say the Isser. This is the source for what we call Shemos. What Sfarim called Gniza. Throwing things that have Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to destroy it. You can't throw it out. You have to bury it or however else we discard or take care of Shem Hashem. And there's an Issa D'oraisa that I just told you, Lo sasum kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. Don't do by the Avodah Zarah's v'ibadetem es shemam. Destroy the names of Avodah Zarah. And not to Hashem. I mean, you can't destroy the names of Hashem. Shemos. That's probably why we got Shemos as opposed to any other word of the word Shemos, because The pasuk is, don't do anything to his shame, to the name of Hashem. Now, in the halachas of Shemos, in the halachas of this Isser Doraisa, to not destroy the name of Hashem, let's think about the following. A guy, a sofer, for example, writes a yud, and then he writes a hey, then he writes a vav, and then he writes a hey. Are you allowed to cut that paper in half, right between the yud hey and the vav hey? So there, the halacha is clear, is explicit, that it is prohibited to cut the yud hey from the vav hey, or the yud from the hey vav hey, or the yud hey vav from the final hey. You're not allowed to cut the name of Hashem. Why? Because you're destroying Hashem's name. What does that show us? That presumably should show us that what are we not allowed to do? What? Separate between two separate letters. If I have a word, and I want to cut the word in half so I have letters on one side and letters on a different side, that should be aser, as we learn from the halachas of Hashem's name. But, wait a second. We have to use a little bit of thinking here. From Shlomo Zalman Orbach, this is quoted in Shmir Shalos Kilchasa, says, no. By Shem Hashem, and think about this for a second, Hashem's name is not, is a little bit of a different thing. When I write a letter, what's your name?
Eliana.
How do you spell that in Hebrew?
Aleph, Lamed, Yud, Ayin, and Hey.
With an Ayin, interesting. So if you have that those letters all together, each letter is its own thing, and then together they make Eliana. Shem Hashem is not like that. Shem Hashem is there are four letters which somehow merge together to create this Kedusha called Shem Hashem. Eliana is a wonderful, beautiful name. It doesn't have Kedusha per se. A Yud Hey Vav, does it have Kedusha? No. Yud Hey Vav Hey at the end has Kedusha. But if it's half of the name of Hashem, it doesn't have Kedusha. So when we talk about Shem Hashem, there's a Kedusha that sort of, I don't know, falls down, you know, bang, when it finishes, when the sofer finishes, that's those four letters. Why? Because these four letters are a unit. So if you have a unit of Shem Hashem, I'm not calling them four letters, I'm calling them Shem Hashem. When I have Shem Hashem, I can't disattach it, undo it, break it apart. However, when I have two letters on a cake, what does it say? Mazel tov, I want to break the mazel, mem, and then cut a line, and then have zayin lamed. So, what did I break apart? A word? The word's not a unit. The word doesn't have halachic significance. Mazel doesn't have halachic significance. Hashem's name has halachic significance, so if I break Hashem's name, I broke something for real. But mazel doesn't have any great importance. It doesn't have any kedusha. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman says in this halacha lemaisa, ladies and gentlemen, the halacha is that you are permitted to cut the cake or to cut the cookie in between the letters. And it is not like Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to cut in between the letters. And cakes and cookies on Shabbos, you are permitted. So, what are we going to do now? We have the easiest solution in the world. You get a birthday cake. You go to the store, and you don't say, I want the frummy chocolate plate with the icing on top that they charge $3 extra because you want to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. No, I want the cheap cake. I want you to put the icing right on top. What are you going to do with the icing? You're just going to cut between the letters. Easy as pie. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests. That's what the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa suggests, except for three words. He says it's better to avoid it. It's good to avoid it. So is it mutter? It's mutter. If your roommate's doing it, or certainly if your mother's doing it, even if your younger sister's doing it, don't say a word. You, if you need to do it, you could do it also if you need to. If you could avoid cutting between the letters, it is a little bit better to avoid. And therefore, if you could afford the extra $3 for that chocolate, what do they call it? Rectangle? Sheet. Thank you. The chocolate sheet that has all the writing on it, you could afford it. That's great. Yes, amazing.
You have a piece of cake with a letter on it. You can't break the letter. Is it eating a regular bite of pork considered?
Yeah, so if you're taking a bite, that we said was going to be mutter.
Right, taking a bite, like using a fork, that wasn't such a hand.
Yeah, I think eating it with a fork would probably be considered. Oh, well, we said hand is the problem. No, that's not going to be. So you're saying eating it with a fork was no better than eating with your hand, and even breaking it with your hand is a problem. That might be a problem. That might be a problem. So you have to eat the cake with your hands. Next time your mother tells you, what are you... Rabbi Early, just blame it on hay.
Question?
Yeah.
Just to clarify, separating the race from the chepchik?
That would be worse.
That's worse.
That's worse. Yeah, that's going to be definitely erasing.
Okay.
The question is separating between letters. That is really mikadin okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Now I have a really cute question. Think of the following. I've never thought of it. Havzir Rabbi Ribiat speaks about this in his Sefer 39 Malachas. What happens... Okay, so we're going to cut between the letters. What happens when the calligraphy on the cake, the icing, is in script? And all the letters are created. Connected. Thank you. They're all attached. So... will I still be able to cut the letters apart? I have a letter here and a letter there, but they're attached. So Rabbi Ribbian assumes as a Devar Pashut that it would be permitted, yes, to, even though you're going to cut the line, since the letters are independently recognizable, each letter is independently intact, it will be permitted to cut the line, cut the ribbon, and cut, as we described, separating between letter and another letter. And... the reason why is because erasing is making a letter not recognizable. We just said you're allowed to separate between letters, two letters. So, oh, they're connected? It's not the fact that they're connected or not connected. It's that the fact is that I'm not breaking apart a letter. So if I have a letter here and a letter here, even though they were connected by this flowing, you know, neat swish of my hand, there's still two independent letters. Each one is independently recognizable. And that would be permitted. Now, that was the third heter. The fourth heter, and we'll review the six all together at the very end in 30 seconds, just so we have them all in perspective. The fourth heter that we're going to say is, we could just slice the cake before Shabbos. Well, it's not as simple as it sounds, because wait a second, what happens if I slice the cake before Shabbos? Meaning, I sliced it straight through the letters and through the whatever, and I'm breaking apart letters and words, and I'm mamish cutting the M and the Z and the L in half. Well, what do I have when Shabbos comes in? It still says Mazel Tov. However, the poskim say that since they're not attached, you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like a puzzle where everything was written before, and they are just next to each other. Actually, it's going to be even more mutter than a puzzle. A puzzle, we said, there's some question about, even though everything's already written, and but they do interlock. What is this like? You remember we spoke either last week or 2 weeks ago, a shiloh that Rav Moshe Feinstein had, about shuls, especially on Yom Haram, they have those cards with the page numbers, page 227. Are you allowed to put those cards up? You're making up, you're creating this number 227. Kol Nidri is on page 142. So you created a number 142. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said that if the cards are separate, independent, they just happen to be standing next to each other, or, you know, propped up next to each other, that's mutter. So that's exactly the same thing that we have here. When I have a cake that is, the letters are all cut all over the place, but they're all together. It's just one thing, they're just propped up, all the lettering is there, next to each other, but they're not attached. They're not held together, and therefore it will be permitted, just like it's permitted to put up that 142 and take down each the 1 and the 4 and the 2, because they're not attached to each other, even though it says 142, and I'm making a number of 142. Well, so too, if I have a cake that says Mazel Tov, I cut the M in half before Shabbos, even though it still spells an M, and I'm going to disattach the top half from the bottom half of the M, it's going to be mutter, because the two parts are not connected. Yes.
When you say mutter, does that mean I can break it with my hands, the piece?
It means that it's already been broken before Shabbos.
Even if the letter's whole, by mistake?
No, you cut the letters.
So you have to cut
Yeah. Cut the letters before Shabbos. And then, or cut the cake however you want to have the cake cut.
Right.
And then when Shabbos comes, you give a person the slice. As long as it won't dry out. You know, some cakes will dry out. But if there's an icing on top, that will usually prevent it from drying out. Okay, so that's the fourth heter. The fourth heter is cut it before Shabbos. That's not so obvious. You're still separating between, you know, the words are still legible and you're separating between the readable words, but it's mutter nevertheless because the words are separate, are disconnected, even though they are still read together. Any questions about that? Great. The fifth heter is going to be the discussion I think we mentioned at some point in the past. We'll talk about it a bit more in depth, just a tiny bit more in depth. I mentioned the word gingerbread man last week. Does anyone know it by heart? Yeah, anyone know the poem, the gingerbread poem by heart? Yeah, you can't catch me even if you can. My kids have the book. Run, 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 as fast as you can. You can catch me on the gingerbread. I'm chased by a butcher and a this and a this. Anyway, okay. Fine. So the problem is it's very cute except when your kids do it to you. Then it's not so cute. Okay, so could we bite the head off the gingerbread man? He deserves it, doesn't he? That chutzpah? Bite off his head. And we also mentioned that the Israeli biskvitim all say the word biscuit in case you weren't sure what it was. It all says the word biscuit or elite, if you have the Israeli ones. Coming back to America, Oreo cookies. By the way, Oreo cookies, O-U-D, are really not milfiks. They're really milfik gekalim, and therefore you are permitted to have them for dessert for a fleishko meal. So, enjoy. As long as you're not allowed to use it on the same plate as your flesh, but you're allowed to have Oreo cookies for dessert after flesh meal. So Oreo cookies, it says the word Oreo. So, there, what are we distinguishing between the case that I just said as opposed to what we've been discussing until now? Until now, we've been discussing, I have a cake, and separate from that cake, I have an icing that has letters. I'm writing with an icing. As opposed to these three examples, a gingerbread man where the shape itself, no, there's no writing on a gingerbread man. But we mentioned many times that the Rambam says that writing is not just writing letters, it's also drawing pictures. And erasing is not just erasing letters, it's also erasing pictures. A gingerbread man is a picture, 3D picture. So therefore, when I bite off his head, I'm erasing his head. It's no. Or we could say, no, that's just his shape. Its shape. Oreo cookies. I don't have a cookie and on top of that some icing that says the word Oreo. It's shaped in, and same thing with the biscuit. It's sort of carved. That's just the form of the cookie itself. And if you are familiar with the Lieber's letter cookies that kindergarten kids eat, then you'll notice also there too, they are flat pieces of cookie squares, and then embedded or embossed, embossed, like sticking up a little bit, is the shape of an A or Aleph or B or C. So all these situations, let me tell you again, we're going to go to a very faraway place, nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing to do with writing, nothing to do with erasing. I'm going to bring a fabulous proof what the halacha should be. Could you break apart, destroy the writing of an Oreo cookie? Could you break apart a gingerbread man limb by limb? Good. You know, people have like certain personality types who need to. The Gemara talks about those who are born under the astrological sign of Madim, which is Mars. That red blood. You know, like they could either be a shochet or they could be a killer, but instead they should channel to be a shochet, a mohel. So if you have that type of that personality, we'll call it personality type D or something. So could you like give them gingerbread man to like peel? When we were little, it's probably, I shouldn't say this because, no, whatever. So there were small children that I knew who, when they were little, they used to pull off the legs of the daddy long legs. Do girls do that? Just me? Okay. I mean, just mine, just boys. Okay. So you have that type of personality type, and instead of doing to the daddy long legs, which is probably an issa d'oraisa of... Yes, machlokus in the Gemara that tzar bali chaim is also midaraisa midrabanan, and we do paskin tzar bali chaim is also midaraisa. This is a great example. Most tzar bali chaims are not really aser because there's some human purpose for it. One pain that could be caused that doesn't have any human purpose is pulling the legs off the daddy long legs. That's definitely aser. So let's say you have this kind of kid who does likes doing that. So could you give him a gingerbread man to get out that kind of, get it out of his system. His system, not her system. His system. So, listen to this. Let's go to Maseches Pesachim. Maseches Pesachim is talking about chametz and matzah. And you know what it says there? On Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph? It says, Tanu Rabbanan, You're allowed to be, you can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, and we don't have to worry about chametz, even with crackers hamitsuyarin. That are, what's mitsuyarin? What's a tsiyur? A picture, a painting. Mitsuyarin means painted or pictured crackers. Even though it's not ideal to do, it's still kosher. Why should you not really make these kind of matzahs? Because when you make them, it takes you a lot of time to shape the dough. And what might happen in the time that it takes to shape the dough? They might become. Why are you talking about chametz? Just say you can't use them for a matzah because you're going to eat it and you're going to break apart the shape at the Seder. If you have a gingerbread man-shaped matzah, that would be very funky, wouldn't it? New age, like, seders. Gingerbread man-shaped matzah. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't have those because they take time to prepare the dough and it might end up being chametz. What did the Gemara clearly not say? Didn't say that, oh, you can't eat them. Because that's going to be breaking apart the figure, the form. What do you see from between the lines of that Gemara? It's incredible. You see how the Chachamim are able to apply not just what the Gemara somewhere else in Pesachim talking about Chametz says, but what a Gemara somewhere unrelated doesn't say. It's a whole different level of having Torah at one's fingertips to be able to make these kinds of deductions. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that the problem is anything to do with breaking apart a gingerbread man, rather it says that it's a Chametz issue. You see that there is no problem as far as breaking, as far as the erasing, as far as mochek and disattaching parts of a figure. That's not going to be the problem. And that's a proof that the poskim say would permit us to eat gingerbread man, and the same thing is going to be, there's no difference between the gingerbread man situation and the situation where I have letters embedded in or embossed on top of the Oreo cookies and the biskvitim. That's all the same situation where the shape of the cake itself is the letter. Or the shape of the cake, right? I think I mentioned that my son Natanel's recent birthday cake was the shape of a fire truck, right? So even though you're not allowed to erase a fire truck on a piece of paper, you can erase the fire truck by cutting the cake in half. Why? Because that's just the shape of the cake. It's not a cake with writing on it, or a cake with a picture on it, you're just taking a slice. I could take a slice of whatever. Sometimes it's a rectangle, so sometimes it's a fire truck. Yeah?
Two questions. First of all, does the fact that it wasn't mentioned there, even though that's not the primary concern, kind of maybe knock down that argument? And also,
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that, of course, it's not going to talk about the halachas of mochei, because it's talking about chametz there. Your point is well taken, but the Gemara says has to go out of its way to ask, what's the problem? Why should you not do these? And the Gemara says, if it was something that you just can't eat them, you don't even have to explain to me that, oh, because they take a long time to cook, and while you're cooking them, they might end up turning to chametz. Just, you don't make them because you're not allowed to eat them.
Okay. And second question, back thousands of years ago, they used to draw in tablets, which was clay, and that's how they would write. They were writing the boasting. So it wasn't trying to
situation. I like what you're saying, but that's clearly not what we're assuming in halacha, because we're talking about the paradigm of, you're suggesting that the primary way that they wrote was by engraving into clay.
Right.
And that's true. But we learned that the primary the source of writing is when they wrote with ink on the Mishkan. And then when the Mishnah talks about writing, it's talking about ink. So is it going to be usher to engrave? It is usher to engrave. I agree. So the Chazanish points on what you just said. The Chazanish asks what Liba says. The Chazanish asks, can I take a clay tablet or Play-Doh tablet and take a stylus, right, and engrave my name in it on Shabbos? No, clearly that's kosev. If that's the case, asks the Chazanish. So what's the inverse? If I have something that's engraven or embossed on top or engraved in, I should not be able to destroy that either.
So the only difference is that mochik you can't really do anyways because you can't write on top of it afterwards. You have to get destroyed.
I don't see what you just said.
Meaning, like, you can't erase something you write on that kind of a tablet. It's permanent and it's not mochik.
Oh, okay. But the Chazanish actually goes with this and he says, just like you're not allowed to... The Chazir says you're not allowed to make a form of a letter out of dough on Shabbos. So he says, actually disagrees with this kula that we just gave. He says you're not going to be able to cut a, if you have a dough made in the shape of an aleph, let's say, again, for a sitter party, my daughter Ariel had her sitter party this week, so let's say my wife wants to bake a challah or a cake in the shape of an aleph or some other letter. So the Chazir says, well, you're not allowed to make that shape of the dough on Shabbos because you're making a letter, so you shouldn't be able to cut it either. That's your argument. He's being machmir. The Mishnah Berurah is nevertheless mekel. But your argument is mekel. If you want to be machmir, you could be machmir and not cut those that cake. But we could probably rely on the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. So let me share with you the last heter of cutting cakes on Shabbos, and then we'll sum them up, and we'll talk about another one or two very fascinating halachas that are very nogei lemaisa and even daraisa. But we'll get there in a moment. The sixth heter is, again, I have a flat cake with icing. I want to cut it up, but it says mazel tov. So, the poskim say, I could just, instead of slicing down from top to bottom to make a slice down, to make a slice of cake, I could slice horizontally and cut off the icing. That's not so much fun, because then you get cake without icing. What's the point of eating cake without icing? It's like eating pizza without cheese. Hashem yirachem. So therefore, I could cut this horizontal cut, take off the, well actually, l'chatchila, I should take off the lettering with some of the icing on it, or with some of the cake. That could be very good, because then you have a lot of icing and a little bit of cake, then it could be really good. Okay. Or, if I can't cut off, like, the lettering with the icing, I'm actually allowed to just cut the lettering off from the icing. What problem could you think of would be with that? Slicing off the letters from... Right, I'm cutting off... That's like borer. Do you remember when we talked about borer a long time ago? We talked about the angel collars, and they had those stickers on them, and we said, you're not supposed to just peel off that sticker because it's where they meet, where that point of... That junction where the stickiness of the sticker and the challah of the challah and the whatever of the challah meet each other, that's a point of mixture. And therefore I should cut off a little after you make lechemish, after you say use your lechemish and you have your shalim, cut off a piece, a little bit of the bread from it so you're not separating between the two things. So should this be borer? If I just cut the letters off the icing? Aliza, you say you have a kula coming up. Correct. Here, the only reason that you're doing it, they're both food. It's not like one is food and one is not food. It's not even that one is food that you want, one is food that you don't want. You love everything. This is green icing and that's white icing. They're all the same thing. You're not separating because you want to separate. You're just cutting them off because you have no other way to cook the cake because there's a halacha of mochik that prevents you from cutting horizontally. And therefore, the Rabbi has suggested it will not be a problem of borer, and therefore one will be permitted to, even if, again, better to cut, make a horizontal cut and take the icing with some cake, or with some icing, the layer icing, the flat layer of the icing, but if they can't, they could even just cut off, horizontally cut off the letters and have the white, plain white cake as is, and slice it however they want. So now I'm going to just review what the six kulas, the six solutions that we had, how we could cut a cake with letters on Shabbos. First of all, the first suggestion was with your left hand. We weren't so happy with that. Second solution was that if you break the letters while you're eating, not with your hands, but as you eat it, that's derech achila. That's just like tochen with your molars. That's going to be okay. The third heter that we said, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas would permit us to, Rabbi Ribiyat as well, break the words as long as we don't break the letters. We need to slice between letter to letter. That's not going to be considered mochek according to the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Better to avoid that, he says, but that will be a heter. The fourth heter was to slice the cake and slice the words, however you want. Slice the mem into two parts and the zion into two parts. before Shabbos. And even though you see it as a Mazel Tov on Shabbos, since they are separated through and through, they're not attached, it will be permitted to disconnect them just like two cards that have different letters on them, like two Scrabble pieces or two bananagram pieces, tiles, that have letters that you're just separating one from the other. Even though these are both part of the letter, but nevertheless, they were already disattached. The fifth heter, which the Chazon Ish questioned, but if the cake itself is in the shape of a picture or has the shape of a letter embedded in it, embossed on it, engraved into it, or just the shape is the shape of a picture or the shape of a letter, that also is permitted to be cut. And finally, the last heter that we said was that we could slice off the letters horizontally and slice horizontally, just lift off the letters themselves. Now, we finished the topic of cutting cakes. Any questions of cutting cakes and cookies before I add two or three points about writing on Shabbos? Okay, you'll remember them in a minute. Let's talk about some other things regarding not cakes and cookies, but they could happen very often. You go to an amusement park. What do they do when you want to step outside to get something from your car and then be able to return? So sometimes they have a ban, sometimes they stamp you. So let's say you went to the amusement park on Friday, or better yet, on Chol HaMoed. Right? Now it's second day is Yom Tov, or it's Shabbos. Are you allowed to... Right? It says Hershey Park, or wherever else it said. We wouldn't go to Hershey Park, but back in the day when we were in high school, we went to Hershey Park, right? So are we allowed to erase Hershey from our palm or our wrist or whatever we call that? The back of our hand. So if it's permanent, so it's going to be Asa D'Raisa. If it's not permanent, it's still Asa D'Rabbanan. That's going to be sort of an academic question. So it is going to be a problem. We are not going to be able to erase the letters or the picture even. Remember, even if it's not letters, even if it's a picture, if it's just ink, a blotch of ink, I don't think that's writing. But if it's a picture, a figure, or letters, that will be an issue to erase that on Shabbos, and therefore you're not going to be able to wash it off. Oh, so how are you going to do it in Tzitzit Daim? I did not research this, but if I take Rabbi Ribiat's word for it, he says as far as Hilchos Netilas Yadayim is concerned, it is not considered a chatzitza. And therefore one can do Netilas Yadayim with writing on their hands because there's no mamashas, there's no extant physical stuff. You can't feel like if you have writing on your hand and you put your hand, your fingers from your other hand against it, you're not going to feel anything. There's nothing palpable there. There's no mamashas. That's the Hebrew word that we'll use. So since there's nothing palpable, there's nothing that you could feel, that would not constitute a chatzitza, at least for netilas yadayim for bread. So therefore, you'll go through Shabbos, through Yom Tov, with some writing on your hand. If you... excuse me. We have Crayola magic markers, which are basically kids write all over themselves, right, and everything else. So basically, you just put their, let's say they write on their hand. You just put their hand under the stream of water, it just sort of washes away. That's going to be a serious problem. That's going to be a serious problem. If you have a letter that you wrote with these just washable markers, that you don't even have to rub and scrub it out, which is definitely usur, but even if it's just going to wash away, that could be a problem. And how to do a Tzilas Yadayim there, it's a good question. I'll have to work on that. Similarly, just like we can't wash things off, also if a person has whatever markings on their body with magic markers or pen, be careful when you dry your hand. We said you could do Netilas Yadayim, it's not going to be a chatzitza, but make sure when you dry your hands that the drying won't erase whatever you wrote on your skin. But it is clear that writing on skin is usur, and if I remember correctly from the Gemara, I believe it's usur. I don't remember, it's D'Raisa D'Rabban. I don't remember, I'm sorry. But it's usur. Now, let me tell you something that nobody knows. Question, yeah. I don't know what to do. Maybe get a guy. I mean, that, I just. What was that again? Oh, if you went a few days ago and you still have it, so just go ahead. Continue with it.
No, but meaning like.
You have nothing to worry about. Do not tell us your diamond anyway, it's not coming off. The tail of your diamond is not going to take it off if it's. So don't rub. So if it's something that's been there for a few days, it's only going to come up with rubbing hard. So if you don't rub, you just do it to the sadaim, nothing's going to happen to it. That's fine. And it's not considered a chatzitza, so just leave it there and do it to the sadaim. Don't rub it off. Right. Yeah.
So what about the ones that are invisible ink, that they only show up when you sit in the room?
Invisible ink is a great question. We didn't talk about it at all. Invisible ink is more important to talk about in medical context, like if you have a hospital like Shari Tzedek Hospital where they want to follow halacha. So would a solution be to not have the doctors write with ink, but with ink that will fade within 24 hours?
I'm saying, like, what if it's on your skin?
Right, so that's the concept of invisible ink. So there are different kinds of invisible ink. If it's a kind that when you apply it to your hand, then you can't see it. Unless you hold it under some special kind of light, I'm not sure if that's called writing. The other kind of invisible ink, what I was talking about, like with Shari Tzedek, is that you write, and it looks like writing. But the way the dye, you know, ionically binds with the paper, it doesn't, something happens that the, normally that's how writing works. Certainly with printing, they're charged molecules of ink, and they somehow bond with the paper, so it's like inside the paper almost. That's how laser printers work, I think, and not necessarily writing with a pen. But when you write, it's... Wait, were you just saying? Sorry, just yeah, saw that. Right, so invisible ink, it's that it's not set, it doesn't go into the paper or something, have they figure out a way that it just disappears after a few hours. That would be worse than what you just described, where you can't see anything at all unless you hold it under a special light. Yeah? Okay. But that would probably be also the Darabana. But again, in hospital settings, we might forego the Darabanas because we'd rather avoid the Arisas. Now, the next halacha that I want to mention, basically finish with this, is an Issur d'oraisa that nobody knows about and that happens all the time. Mamash. It happens, it might have even happened to you. Were any of you born on Shabbos? Was anyone in this room born on Shabbos? Shoshu born on Shabbos? What? Yontif counts 100%, yes. On Shabbos or Yontif? Anyone else? I would think that 1 out of 7 people should be born on Shabbos or Yontif. For some reason, that's not working tonight. Okay. But I'm sure we have 2 people who have the same birthday here, but we don't have time for that right now. So listen to what the Ragachover. Raga Chava Gaon was a great, great, great Gaon at the beginning of this century, at the beginning of the early 1900s. He, by the way, was a gigantic, gigantic, gigantic maspid. And listen to the level of his hasmada. The halacha is that when a person gets a haircut, he's not supposed to learn Torah. I guess like in the bathroom, similarly, you don't learn Torah in the bathroom, it's not good for the Torah, so when you get a haircut, you don't learn Torah. Because of that, what was the solution? Never get a haircut. That was the Ragachover. And now just to take this same story to the next stage, the Ragachover used to sit in a chair. What happens when you sit in a chair for many, 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 many hours? And they didn't have air conditioning in the 1915s and whatever. So you nod off, you fall asleep. Ah, but he had a great solution. Since he had long hair, you know what he could do? He tied his hair to the high back of the chair. Whenever he would fall asleep and his head would fall forward, yank his head and wake him up. So, the Ragachover, we don't call many people the Gaon, but we call him Ragachover Gaon. He's an absolutely brilliant and incredible, incredible person. So he talks about a finger druk. What's a druk or a drik? A finger drik, I guess. Drik maybe means a drip, maybe. Is a fingerprint. Fingerprinting on Shabbos. Says the Ragachover, regarding somebody who is tovel etzba'o bidyo, you immerse or you dip your finger in ink, v'chosem bo al haniyar, you sign with that on paper as a chasima, called a finger drik, a fingerprint. If you do that on Shabbos, chayev min ha-Torah mishum kosev. And this doesn't matter, bein b'yamin o b'smol, because as we pointed out 20 minutes ago, when is there a difference between writing with your right hand and writing with your left hand? when there's going to be a difference in what you're creating, in the neatness, in the how pretty the letters that you're forming are. But your fingerprints are just as pretty on your left hand as they are on your right hand. Unless you have better, you know, swirls on your left finger. But says the Ragachavra, it's equally awesome to raise whether on the right hand or the left hand. Now, any of you who are born on Shabbos, chances are, when we had our baby a few weeks ago, what do they do? It wasn't on Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. What do they do right after birth to prevent stolen children? Which is important. That's a good thing. They take the mother's finger and they take a fingerprint, and right next to that they take the baby's footprint or fingerprint. They do the foot, actually. And on the same card, so that you have a record of connecting the mother with the baby. And again, that's a good thing. I don't want stolen babies. We're not advocating for stolen babies. However, if it happens that there's a baby born on Shabbos, for the mother to go ahead, when the nurse is here, just stick your finger in this ink and put it over there, that will be an Isser mi de'oraisa, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well. And therefore, what is the solution? I don't know what the solution is. To have the guy do it for you, take your finger and move your hand for you, that's not necessarily a good solution either. The best solution would be to ask, you know, tell them that, you know, in the same way that when you came in on Shabbos, you didn't sign any of the papers, and they were okay with that, well, I mean, if you want to just keep your baby and, I don't know, go to the nursery and whatever else it is, something to work out and something to figure out a solution for, but the finger druk, the Ragachar says, will be an Isser D'Oraisa. We haven't come up with any great, maybe they'll soon have these retina, you know, in the old science fiction movies, they have like, they read your retina, and they know it's you. Well, we still do our finger druks, just like they did in the 1920s, so, yeah. I don't know, that's a great question. We should find out, who would like to do some work in Shari Tzedek? In Israel, they don't take fingerprints. Baruch Hashem, now we understand why. Stolen babies all the time, but I don't know the answer. If somebody could volunteer to contact, find out what they do in Shai Tzedek, if they do anything. They don't do fingerprints, okay. Okay, so we'll have to find out. Okay, that's we had a baby. Menachem was born not in Shai Tzedek, in Hadassah camp, but it's not a Shomer Shabbos facility anyway. And it wasn't on Shabbos. So, right. Anyway, Bezus Hashem, we finished all the halachas of cutting cakes and cookies. And we finished off with writing on skin, which is an issue, and with finger druks, which are also an issue as well. Thank you very much, and stay tuned next week to see whether we will or will not. Definitely not Tuesday. If we do have a shiur next week, the final shiur of the year, it will be Monday night. But stay tuned to the announcements, to the emails, to see whether it will or will not.
We never discussed rappers, no.
Is it, can you just cut the line?
According to what we said.